Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Richard Piper and Bob Christopher. Richard, of course, today, the birthday boy, and happy birthday to you. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast of Basic Gospel, and we'd really love for you to be a part of it. If you have a question or there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And Richard, I know all the staff joins me in wishing you a happy birthday, my friend.
Well, thank you. I'm finally old enough to know better.
Old enough.
I'm not sure that I
do. Have you done anything about it, though?
No.
That's the question. Bob, I know you have some cutting comments for those of us who are aging rapidly.
Well, we'll save those for after the air, off the air. But, Richard, happy birthday, my friend.
Man.
And
yes,
it's a real joy to work with you and to be your friend. And just thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you've been in my life. I certainly cherish our friendship, and happy birthday, and I hope you have a big celebration at home, and but enjoy this day.
I have so far. It's been great fun.
Yeah. Well, outstanding. Well, as you know, I'm down in Port St. Joe, Florida, with Blue Skies Ministries, and we're working with some families. There's 10 guest families here, and all of them have one of their children has been diagnosed with some form of cancer, whether it's leukemia, neuroblastoma, or some other form. And it's just been a real blessing to be involved in their lives, to hear their stories, to see it's the faith that's there, how they're clinging to this hope. And, you know, as I'm talking to these families and just sharing with them, it just reminds me and keeps pointing me back to the central issue of Christianity. What distinguishes Christianity from every other religious system, and how it truly has the answer to that particular situation. And it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a real man that entered into this world. God sent him, and he inhabited a body, and he lived that life, that human life in Israel, most of it on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And at a point in time, he headed toward Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem, and he was offered up to be tried. He was arrested, and Pilate sentenced him to crucifixion, death by crucifixion. And on a particular day, the Roman soldiers took him out, nailed his hands and his feet to a cross, and then put that cross up. And he hung there for 6 hours. And on that 6 hour, he looked to the skies and said, "It is finished." And then he gave his spirit to his Father, and his body died. And they put that body in a grave. And then 3 days later, he is raised back to life. And that singular event changes everything. It gives us hope in the midst of this crazy world in which we live. We're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, and especially in a situation down here where these families have heard the word cancer. I mean, can you imagine being a parent of a child and a doctor gives you that diagnosis? No. What's going to run through you? I mean, some of these parents just they just numbed up. They didn't know what to think, what to do. Others were just gripped with fear. Others just this intense sadness. Others just said, "Well, we're going to beat this," and just kind of went into warrior mode. But they're given a sentence, this word cancer, and you immediately associate the worst. My kid's going to die, or, you know, that's just where your mind is going to go. And what's the answer to that? Well, medicine isn't going to answer that particular reality. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ will. Only the resurrection of Jesus matters in a situation like this. And that's why it's so important that we are genuinely convinced in our hearts that God indeed raised him from the dead. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a story out of the imagination of some creative guy or creative group. This is an actual event that took place. God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive today. And he sends his spirit to live in us and raises us from the dead. And that's our hope. And that becomes the anchor for our souls. Now, we're going to go through all kinds of emotional ups and downs in this life as we encounter circumstances, as life throws things at us. And it does. None of us is going to escape trials and tribulations. But what God wants for all of us more than anything is to be anchored to this one central reality that Christ was raised from the dead. Paul put it so clearly when in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if Christ, we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied."
Yeah.
But we know that Christ has been raised, that this is the cornerstone of our faith, the very substance of our faith. So folks, let's understand what distinguishes Christianity from every other religious system, every other religious philosophy, every other secular philosophy. It is a story of resurrection, that there is hope for each and every one of us beyond the grave. It is called everlasting life, to be experienced in the very presence of God himself.
Yeah.
Jesus is alive. That is our hope. That is our good news.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the shortly after the 3 p.m. hour Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want you to be a part of it. You can do that right now by calling 844-322-2742, and that number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now. We'd love to get your question or your particular topic of interest. Bob, talk to our listeners just a little bit about our need coming up by the 30th. It's just 3 days away.
Well, we're making some progress toward this $50,000 target, and we appreciate those who have stepped up and been generous with their giving. We still have some distance to travel, and we are just praying that God will move in the hearts of lots and lots of people. But what I just talked about, the fact that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, the fact that Jesus is alive, that is the gospel message that will deal with life situations like none other. I mean, we're all going to face death. We're all that situation is going to happen for all of us. What is the solution to that? Well, science isn't going to come up with it. You can invest billions into scientific research. They will never, ever, 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 ever discover a solution for death. It is beyond the reach of the scientific community. They can think that one day they're going to reach it, but they're not. They are not going to do it. As much as the knowledge, the scientific knowledge increases out there, that circle will never extend large enough to be able to bring a solution for death. It just will not happen. There is only one solution. It was Jesus. God sent him into the world, and when he died and tasted death for all of us, on the third day, he was raised back to life. He destroyed death. And folks, we need to get behind this message like never before. Why? Because as science advances, as technology advances, they're doing everything to push God out of the equation of life. but only the gospel of Jesus Christ marches in lockstep with our human heart. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can alleviate those spiritual needs, can lift us out of that darkness, that death, that spiritual death, mm-hmm. into a place of life. Folks, this message needs supported like never before. Don't take it for granted. There are people who claim to be Christians who will say they believe Jesus was raised from the dead, but when life throws stuff at them, they act as if it wasn't true.
Right.
Now, what does our ministry do? It continues to tell that story and to tell it and to tell it and to tell it so people can hear it and can be pushed to that point where they have to say, I either believe it or I don't. And those who believe, who come to that point and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, they find an anchor for their souls.
Yeah.
Invest today. Give generously. Don't take this message for granted. Help others get connected to Jesus Christ, the one who is alive and who is alive forevermore. We need to hear from you today.
Today. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, all the ways that you can give, you'll find at basicgospel.net. There are just several ways, and we won't go into all of them, but if you visit basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada to make your gift, you'll find all those ways, and it'll go a long way to help us keep this good news coming. Basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada. Now to the phones for this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, according to Matthew 5:31-32, can you be divorced and remarried without being in adultery? My other question would be, if it is adultery to be divorced or remarried, can you be forgiven of that? Thank you.
Good questions.
It's an excellent question. So he's referenced Matthew 5:31-32. It says this, and it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. So there was a provision in the law that allowed for divorce. It was because of the hardness of heart. And a certificate of divorce was issued to protect the woman, to protect the wife, so that she could maintain her standing within the community. Otherwise, if there was no certificate of divorce, then the woman would just be treated like a second-class citizen. So God wanted to protect the female, wanted to protect the wife. Now, what was happening was that a lot of people were using that as a loophole. They didn't like wife A, so they would write her a certificate of divorce so that they could marry, person B. So they had another female already in mind. And so they wanted to divorce their current wife so that they could marry another one. Now, they had a legal standing and a legal loophole, but Jesus was saying here, hey, you're committing adultery. Let's not pretend. Let's not use this law to cover up what's really going on. You're committing adultery, and you're making this your spouse commit adultery as well. So let's look at it for what it is. So that's what Jesus is saying, and he was challenging the Pharisees because they were doing this in Jesus' day. They were writing a certificate of divorce to get rid of Mary so that they could hook up with Susan. Well, that's adultery, no matter how you look at it. They just had a legal standing, the letter of the law, but they were totally missing the spirit of the law. So that brings us to his second question, is divorce a forgivable sin? Mm-hmm. And, so many in the past have basically said that divorce is the unforgivable, unpardonable sin. But that is not the case. Only the rejection of Christ is the unpardonable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So divorce, Jesus saw all of the divorces that were going to happen. He took those upon himself, and he bled and died for the punishment of those so that we could be released and could experience forgiveness. So yes, that's forgiven. If you're in Christ and you've had a divorce in your past, that divorce has been forgiven. You have that forgiveness that was given to you the day you received Christ Jesus. So the remarriage thing, we try to complicate it with all these legal gymnastics and say, man, if you've been divorced and you're remarried, that's a sin. So you better somehow jump out of that and figure out a way to get back into your other marriage. And you're just compounding all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
So if you've been divorced and now, years later, whatever it might be, you've been remarried, that's okay. God can bless that marriage. And often... we see these second marriages where they say, hey, we're going to do this in accordance with what the Word of God has to say. And they have this attitude of trust and dependence upon the Lord. And they see God working this marriage according to the design that He laid out from the very beginning. So divorce is not the unforgivable, unpardonable sin. Richard, any thoughts?
Well, this is one of those passages that is so often torn out of the context. It's right in the middle of a whole bunch of statements where Jesus says, you have heard it was said, but I say, but I tell you. And what he is doing is completely deconstructing the legalistic arguments of the Pharisees and saying, here's what it really means to be under law. And he was doing it on purpose so that people would see that there was no way to be under law and survive.
Yeah.
And then he brings them himself and says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life in a different passage. But the thing that was so amazing to the people, when you get to the end of this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, is they say, wow, this guy teaches with authority. No one else has ever taught like that because everybody else was teaching loopholes like you just described. So take this in the context in which it's written or was said, and you see that Jesus is telling us there is no way for any one of you, whether you stayed married or got divorced, whether you thought you hadn't committed adultery or you had, or whether you had murdered someone or had not, said, erase all of that loophole thinking. Understand that you were born dead and you need life, and I'm here to bring you life.
Yeah.
And when you do that, then a lot of the fear goes away because truth has replaced it.
Yeah. So what you're saying, Richard, as far as the Sermon on the Mount is concerned, it was Jesus preparing the hearts of the people for what was up ahead through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought they had a measure of righteousness. And Jesus was saying, no, you don't have any measure of righteousness at all. You are unrighteous. And here's one proof of that. You have the law covering you over, and you think you're righteous underneath it. But when I reveal your heart and show you what you're really doing, you're going to see that you have no righteousness at all that you can bring to the table. And you better recognize that truth so that you can receive the righteousness that is soon going to be available to you through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, Richard, we've been speaking to our listeners about this urgent need, this situation in front of us coming up in just 3 days on September 30th. Give our listeners kind of an update and also some encouragement to stand up and stand with us.
Well, first of all, we're almost 40% there.
That's
good
great.
News.
Yes.
And we thank you, sincerely thank you, for all of those who have stood with us and said, here's what I can do, and they've sent gifts of varying amounts. Mm-hmm. We just need the rest of you to do that as well. We're not kidding. We need a total of $50,000. And it's just that simple. And there are so many thousand people who listen to this broadcast. We know because we know what the numbers are based on Arbitron and the stations we're on and the number of people listening on Facebook and YouTube. Everybody can do a little bit, and it makes light work, and this thing disappears.
Yeah.
And we can continue on strongly. We're not embarrassed at all to tell you we need this because we know where it's going. You know where it's going. You hear us every day. We never change the message. We're not talking, you know, one thing one day and another thing another day. Mm-hmm. It's always Jesus, and it always is life-changing, and we know it's life-changing because we've talked to the people whose lives are changed.
Yes.
It's not us. It's Jesus. He's the one who's doing the work. I think he will do the work in our listeners to help us meet this need.
And once again, friends, you can find all the ways to give when you visit basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada. We hope you will hear what Richard and Bob have been saying, and I will say for the next 3 days, as a matter of fact. In the meantime, Gabriel would like to know how to look at the opposing issues of continual sinning and sanctification. There you are.
Well, if you're in Christ, you've been sanctified. We see this in Hebrews 10:10. By that one sacrifice, we have been made holy in the sight of God. Well, that's the same word as to sanctify. So when we're made holy, we've been sanctified. We've been set apart. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, we see the same thing. And he's speaking there in the context of sexual immorality.
Yes.
He said, this is what you once were. This is what your life once was. But now you have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. So we have been sanctified. So it's not an ongoing process, an ongoing progression that we get more and more sanctified as we grow in life. We are sanctified. We are set apart. Now, the scripture speaks about the renewing of the mind. So our minds aren't always in alignment with our real identity or with what Christ has done. But they're getting in line through the work of the Holy Spirit to bring the things of the Lord Jesus into clear focus for us. So our thinking and our actions are going to just, you know, over time, be more and more in line with the truth that we are sanctified. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as ongoing sin, that truth is one of the truths that is going to help us, teach us to flee when sexual immorality comes our way, to give in to the desires of the Spirit rather than the desires of the flesh. We've been sanctified. I know when I first really understood that I'd been made alive in Christ and, went back to some of the things that I used to do, I felt out of place. Well, why did I feel out of place? Because I was out of place.
Yeah.
And, why was I out of place? Because I'd been sanctified. I'd been set apart for something different. And so that's the truth that we really need to, grow deep into and allow to grow deep into us so that we can have some discernment on how to deal with life going forward, and especially some of those ongoing sins, those old habits that seem really hard to break. But in this truth, there's power, there's victory, and that's what we need to rest in.
Bob, in 40 seconds, tell Jerry how elders should be chosen in the local church, by the pastor or by the congregation.
Well, I think elders, it's not that you have a committee meeting and vote like politics. I think you just look and see who's already functioning in those roles because of their maturity. And the Word of God certainly has some specifics, I think, in Timothy and Titus on what to look for. So I would just encourage you to go there.
Yeah. So, in fact, the Holy Spirit chooses these people. We get to recognize it.
Absolutely.
Well said, Richard.
Well said. Yes, indeed. Well, folks, as we've said, this ministry, Basic Gospel, has an immediate need, and we need your help big time by September 30th to pay for the airtime and the other expenses incurred in the normal course of operation of the ministry. This new covenant message just needs to stay on the air, telling the story of God's love and grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find all the ways to make your gift to help us remain on the air at basicgospel.net. There are a lot of ways to give, and you'll find them all at basicgospel.net or in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. The need is urgent, as the guys have said, and we can't do it alone. We need your help today. So please, once again, visit basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net in Canada and make your gift to keep the good news coming. Remember, too, that if you have a question, shoot an email to bob@basicgospel.net or record your question at 844-322-2742. That number available right around the clock, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.